Did we get Roz and Mocha? Are they standing by?
Roz and Mocha, join us live.
Roz and Mocha are very famous. Everybody talks
famous.
About them.
Roz and Mocha.
We could not miss the chance to talk to Roz and Mocha.
Roz and Mocha.
Roz and Mocha.
Roz and Mocha.
Brand spanking new show, so if we screw up today, then you can yell at Roz.
Thanks, bro.
Yell at the boss. The boss is the one that let us loose on these microphones.
I'm sure a lot of people thought I was out of my mind.
Two opposites.
When did I become the not fun guy?
Who started from the bottom.
My only focus was going to be to get on the radio.
But my problem was is that I had such incredible stage fright. Everything about having an audience terrified me.
And built one of the biggest radio shows in the country.
Sorry.
This is the story they've never told.
The year before we started this show, I was in a very different place in my life. I was a broken, broken person.
A story of friendship.
Are you serious? Oh my God, that's such great news!
So,
my God, look at me, I'm tearing up. That's such great news!
Family.
I love my wife so much. And, we're having a kid.
You are, I've said this since the day I met you, you are going to be one of the greatest fathers the world has ever seen.
Oh, thanks, man.
Comedy. And controversy. All hell broke loose.
The stories about the boycott.
We got a letter from like Jay-Z's lawyers.
I think it would have gotten really nasty.
Basically, they were going to destroy us.
It was a massive, massive deal at the time.
And the pursuit of a shared vision.
For me, the ultimate goal in everything is to just put heart into it.
All the epic moments.
Oh my God, breaking news.
The tears.
No! Are you serious? Oh my God.
I cried a lot.
And damn it, Maury.
Our producer, Maury.
Every time Mocha says his name, it's always, damn it, Maury.
He always does something in the studio to piss me off.
I knew that he would be extremely popular on the show.
The waterfall is the most important thing. It's made out of chocolate, germs, and up.
A journey of laughter. And the ridiculous.
We're going to be flicking panties.
One, two, three,
flick.
The best there is! The best there was! The best there ever will be!
What? Told by the people who were there.
I guess there's, sure there's by the book there was risk.
So that part was good because I would have been heartbroken if he wanted to leave.
I was confident that we could get a deal here. Given that they both wanted him so badly, he had tremendous leverage.
I would say it is a show centered around two people who care deeply about each other, about their families, and about making you laugh.
And by the ones you've never heard on the show until now.
Well, my real name is DJ Climax, and it's official because that's what my mom calls me now.
14 years.
I could be brown, I could be blue, I could be violet sky.
Thousands of shows.
Is Mocha a virgin?
I'm not a virgin.
Are you sure?
And 10 million podcast downloads.
Oh, it's an honor for being here. You guys are an institution. Man. I can't believe we got to be in the Roz and Mocha show. Keep doing what you're doing.
All of this for a show that almost never happened.
I immediately said no.
And I was crushed.
He said no.
I felt like the show had already failed and we hadn't even built it yet.
This is the Uncensored.
I don't know how I got the reputation for being the asshole, right?
And Unhinged.
Looking back, I was an asshole.
I think that Mocha is far more of an asshole than I am, to be honest with you.
History of Roz and Mocha.
I told you I was gonna do it! All you haters, suck it! Suck it! Suck it! Suck it! Suck it! Wagwan!
Feeling warm and tingly all over? Yep, it's the new Jack FM working its magic.
In May 2009, 92.5 Jack FM was struggling and about to limp into its sixth year on the air.
92.5 Jack FM.
It was also about to be obliterated and flipped when Julie Adam was brought back in to relaunch Kiss. 92.5.
Toronto's number one. I knew Kiss was going to come back, but it wasn't public yet.
Everybody's looking for
Kiss.
It wasn't so much that what Toronto radio was doing was wrong, because that wasn't the case at all. It was more that what we were trying to do at KISS was different from what the other radio brands were doing. The other radio brands were already doing what they needed to do, and they were successful at it. So our job was to come in and do something different.
KISS 92.5.
At 3 p.m. on June 5th, 2009... Kiss launched by playing 10,000 songs nonstop. No commercials, no hosts. But that wasn't going to last forever.
Summer 2009, I had been at ET Canada for, I guess, 4 or 5 years, and they had sent me to Los Angeles because Michael Jackson had died.
A gentleman here that needs help, and he's not breathing yet. He's not breathing, and we're trying to pump him, but he's not okay.
My brother, the legendary king of pop, Michael Jackson, passed away on Thursday, June.
And my phone started blowing up because this radio station that we're on, KISS in Toronto, needed a morning show. And my phone was going crazy because everybody was saying, hey, you should go for this.
You know, I thought it was important to try some different personalities and bring together a team. I wasn't so concerned about experience. Instead, I wanted a group of people who were wildly passionate about the music, about the audience, about the city, and about working together.
I wrote Julie. I was sitting in Los Angeles in between grieving Michael Jackson fan interviews, covering the press conferences and everything else. And I was writing Julie a letter to tell her why she needed to hire me to do this job.
Roz and I had worked together before.
I first met Julie when my dad was dying, and she hired me to produce a show that they were doing at the time. And Julie was the exact right thing that I needed at the exact right time in my life.
And I already had it in my head that this was someone that I wanted back on the team in some capacity.
She was nothing but wonderful. And after I had left, I knew I was going to work with Julie again.
He made it really easy.
And I was like, listen, I know I've never done this before. I know I'm not good at it. I know I could be a disaster. I know I could be all those things. But the best part of this is that if I really, really screw it up, you can fire me because I already have a great full-time job and not feel bad about it. It's fine. I will allow you to, you know, without even notice, you could just say, don't come in tomorrow. And I'm like, okay with that. Because I already had a great job. I was already on ET Canada.
He's so smart. You know, he can see and hear the way things should go.
By the time I was flying home, Julie had offered me the job. And then I got home and I told Catherine. And Catherine was just, she was over the moon.
I think that somebody like Julie, first of all, is an amazing gift in anyone's life. But I think that in this moment, I think that he really needed that vote of confidence.
The year before we started this show, I was in a very different place in my life. And I had been in that place for a very, very long time. I was a broken, broken person. And humor wasn't a priority. And I didn't want to be on anything anymore. You know, even I had lost love for ET Canada years ago. I was just good at it. When Catherine got pregnant, everything changed. And I realized that the sort of hole that was missing, and I had fought for so long against letting anybody get close. And when you push people away, you don't allow anybody to, you know, even help.
And I think that this was a really, really important moment in his life. And it was just so validating to know someone like Julie who could pick that up and really, you know, tell him that at the right time.
He's just so open and smart and talented that I decided that that was the person that should lead the morning show.
With an offer out to Roz, Julie went after the best to fill out the rest of the lineup.
Not all casts are put together in the same way. You know, I always thought of my job as kind of like being a movie director. You know, your job is to put a cast together, give them the tools that they need, and then let them go do their job.
Summer of 2009, I was working at 91.5 The Beat, which is a radio station, a top 40 radio station in Kitchener. I'd been there since late 2003.
Mocha and Adele, weekday mornings, 6 till 9:30 on 91.5 The Beat.
The show was called Mocha and Adele.
I think we were, I want to say 2 years. I think it was two and a half years.
It was kind of like working with my brother.
The relationship with Adele, it was very much like brother and sister, like bickering.
Let's pretend that you had a girlfriend for 2 seconds.
Okay. Only 2 seconds?
Well, let's hope it's longer than that. So you have a girlfriend, and she's sick, and she's on the couch, and she's not feeling well. And she takes care of you all the time.
First of all, she wouldn't be on my couch. She'd be on her own couch in her own place, because I'm not getting sick.
Wow.
I'm just kidding.
Kind of like that annoying brother that would drive you crazy all the time, but you knew had your back. And Mocha was all about having a good time and truly enjoying the moment. And he worked his butt off. I have to be honest with you. Like, he worked hard.
I never said out loud that if Kiss ever came back, that I would go back. In my heart, I knew it.
Did I think the show would be forever? No, I didn't.
Like, I would always say to myself, if Kiss ever came back in the format that I knew I loved, that I started my career with, my goal is to get there. I never said it to anyone else.
Did I know Mocha's dream was to always come back to Kiss? Yes.
It was a few months before the opportunity came up. I know Adele went to our bosses because we were all at this big radio function, and I was talking to somebody who used to work here, one of our old general managers, Chuck McCoy, who I admire so much. And Adele saw me talking to him and went back to our bosses and said, hey, just so you guys know, if by chance an opportunity in Toronto ever came up, or if Kiss ever came back into play, Mocha's gone. He's out of here.
I knew that Mocha was going to grow fast in our industry.
Summer of 2009, Kiss in Toronto relaunched as a top 40 radio station. I got a call from Julie saying, hey, would you like to come back to Toronto? And I was like, absolutely yes.
With two offers on the table, everything was moving fast. The problem was, Ross still had a very full-time job with ET Canada.
My boss at ET Canada at the time was this incredible woman named Tamara Simoneau, and she was the executive producer. And I wrote her and I was like, hey, listen, I got to meet with you because I got to talk to you about something. And she was like, cool. I got to meet with you because I got to talk to you about something.
Oh.
And I was like, oh man. So we met, and we met for a drink on a patio.
I don't remember all the detail of the day we went for the drinks. I do remember he wanted to talk to me, then it was about the same time I wanted to talk to him.
And we had a couple of drinks, and I was like, listen, I'm going to go first. I got offered a job to build a morning radio show on KISS, and I really want to do this. But I want to do both shows. I want to do ET Canada, and I want to do the radio show.
When he told me he wanted to do both shows, I was shocked because, you know, anybody would be shocked. You think about that. It's two full-time jobs, and not just any full-time jobs, two very demanding full-time jobs, very demanding on your time, on your mental energy. It sounded crazy, actually.
And I was like, okay, cool. Now you go. What do you have to say? And she said, I want you to move to Los Angeles. And I was like, my God. She goes, we want you to be the ET Canada correspondent in LA.
Of course, I thought it was a great offer. Moving to LA when you're an entertainment producer or entertainment producer reporter is an amazing offer. It's a dream offer for so many people. And I thought it would be a dream offer for him, not knowing that there was all these other things going on at the same time.
So I'm like, fuck. I don't know what to do at this point. This is an incredible opportunity. And I've never had this, you know, this kind of opportunity presented at me.
And Roz was the guy. I thought he was going to jump up and down and be so stoked about it.
And I was tortured with it. Like, I was like, oh my God, I don't know how to decide what to do here. And so I went home and I told Catherine, I'm like, we have the hardest decision to make of our lives right now.
I think I was like 9 months pregnant at the time. So this was a very overwhelming time in our lives, that's for sure. I mean, a lot of balls in the air, a lot to be very excited about. We are going to hit the ground running and figure out what we want the trajectory of our lives to look like for the next decade, essentially.
Julie called, offered me the job, and that's a possibility. ET Canada wants me to move to Los Angeles. That's a possibility. And Catherine looked at me and said, you're doing the radio show.
I felt it was cut and dry.
What do you mean I'm doing the radio show? She's like, you don't want to move to Los Angeles.
I mean, I knew Roz was fantastic at radio. I knew he was amazing in general, but I knew that his heart was in radio.
She's like, you want to do this. That's where your heart is. That's where you're going to make a difference. She's like, I don't even know if you like Los Angeles. And so Catherine made the decision for me. She knows me better than I know me.
And honestly, I was excited for him. There's nothing that makes you feel better than the ability to build something and feel proud about it. And I felt like this was the perfect time for him to start that.
She knew sort of where I was going in life because she had seen me kind of come out of that shell, right? Where I now felt that I had something to say. I was about to become a dad. I had this sort of new outlook on life. And Catherine was like, it's not going to happen in Los Angeles. Where your heart is and where your head is going to be doing this show.
While Roz turned down a dream offer in Los Angeles, Mocha made the easiest decision he's ever had to make.
When she had asked me, and I said yes, I didn't even let her finish her sentence. Like, I didn't know what the on-air shift was. I didn't know how much it paid. But she was just, like, such an instrumental person in my life, in my career.
And to me, in order to speak to that audience, you needed people who really understood that audience and who loved the music and loved what we were trying to put together.
Then I find out that the shift that I was to work on was afternoon drive.
He knew what he wanted to do. He really wanted afternoons. He really wanted to work, you know, in programming and in music.
And I was really looking forward to that afternoon slot. It was like 2 to 7 p.m. because it meant that at the time I was still doing mornings. I didn't have to wake up early in the morning. I didn't have to go to bed super early at night. I'd be able to have a little bit of my, like, sleep in a little bit in the morning, sure, and still have my evenings if I did that sweet spot, that afternoon show.
With Mocha's dream of returning to Toronto now a reality, Roz was plotting a way to pull off the impossible.
I was on board immediately. It all made sense. As soon as Catherine said it to me, it all made sense. She was like, this is where you are going to be great. You'd be good in Los Angeles, but you're going to be great if you build this radio show. And I was like, okay, cool. So I got on the phone with Tamara and I told her, I was like, listen, this is crushing. I know you built a lot around this, but I'm not going to LA. I'm going to do the radio show, but I want to do both.
I didn't think he was going to leave ET Canada because he told me in the first breath that he wanted to do both things. So that part was good because I would have been heartbroken if he wanted to leave. Once he told me the reason, it made sense that he was weighing up these two pretty big things at the same time. Also, with Catherine being pregnant and them starting a family, it was a huge decision. I recognize that it was a huge decision, but it's one I wanted to give him the chance to make.
And the idea of having two massive competing companies, they didn't have a great history of playing together, let alone sharing people. But I got a hold of Julie.
Sure, there's by the book, there was risk. I'm sure a lot of people thought I was out of my mind.
I got a hold of Tamara.
I imagine it's a bit like fighting for custody over a child. You want most of his energy and time to be with you. And I'm sure that was how it was on the other side.
And then I called my lawyer.
Hi, I'm Dominic Romano in New York, and I've been Roz Weston's lawyer for almost 20 years. The moment I realized that no one else had ever done this in Canada or even in the United States, for as much as I was aware, was the moment it came out of Roz's mouth. He said, I want to do both shows, but wait, one's with one network and one's with a completely different network. And not only that, there's the logistics of one starts really early in the morning and one ends in the evening.
And everybody just got on the phone and they worked it out.
Meeting after meeting, email after email, until we were all happy.
You know, most times when you're dealing with talent, they are often more confident than the reality, right? Talent thinks they can do anything, pull off the impossible. But in Roz's case, he's just so passionate that the moment he said he would be committed to both and he wanted to do both, obviously, the players were skeptical, but knowing Roz for as long as I had, I was pretty sure he could pull it off.
And along the way, Roz was very much convincing everybody that it was doable and he could do it and he would give 100% to both of his jobs. And he did do that, to his enormous credit.
In Roz's case, it's relatively easy to negotiate on his behalf, especially in this situation. Both organizations really, really wanted him to do both shows.
Because it was Roz, we were motivated to make it work.
I was confident that we could get a deal here, given that they both wanted him so badly. He had tremendous leverage. Even though it was a highly unusual negotiation, I didn't doubt that we would get a yes.
They really did. They worked it out. And then my lawyer called and said, hey, listen, you're going to do both. And it's an incredible thing. Nobody's ever been able to do this before, to do a deal like this. And I was like, I know. And he goes, and the best part is, both companies think that your body won't be able to handle the workload and that they both think that you're going to have to pick one or the other. And they both think that it's going to be them.
how are you going to do that? How is that even physically possible? But he was determined that it was, and he could prove it.
Each company doubted that Roz would be able to handle the hours and the pressure.
And I told my lawyer, I was like, they have no idea what my body can handle. Mm. And I didn't.
They both bet on themselves that he would quit one of them. And instead, he proved them both wrong and he powered through.
So it was up at 3:45 a.m. and I would get home from doing my day ended when I got home at 6:30 p.m.
With Mocha locked in to do the afternoon show, reality was setting in for Roz.
I had thought all the hard work was done once we finished out the contract. I was just like, there was a sigh of relief. And then I just had this moment where I was like, who am I going to do this show with? Julie had set me up with just a stack of tapes. And it was so bloody flattering because there was just dozens and dozens and dozens of them, all people who wanted to do the show with me. Once it came out that I was doing this show, there was a ton of people that wanted to do the show with me. And the more I listened, the more terrified I became. And then within all of those tapes, there was Mocha's.
I had like a demo that I had given to Julie from like a while ago too.
915 The BKW's new hit music station, Lil Jon and the Eastside Boys, What You Gonna Do?
And I guess that's what she had given to Roz, right? So Roz listened to that.
I don't know, like he sounded alive, like almost unhinged, but he sounded alive. He was like throwing stuff around and there was chaos.
Makes me want to kick this chair over on that side of the room. Makes me want to take these binders and just throw them over like that. Makes me want to pick up the yellow pages and throw it against the wall.
Man, you got some serious issues in there, dude.
You better pick that stuff up.
He was doing parody songs.
Mocha-licious definition, still ain't got no girlfriend. It looks like I'll be single all the way up until the end.
And I think at like one point, I don't know who was in there, but he was like getting waxed.
Never in my life would I have thought in my radio career that I'd be sitting in a studio that's facing the street with five extremely hot ladies in here and me in my shorts and a tank top getting my eyebrows waxed. So what's happening? Ah! Man, you ladies do this all the time?
And when I heard Mocha, I realized what exactly I was looking for. And I was looking for everything. And Mocha was everything. He was incredibly talented and he knew radio so well, but he was also everything that I wasn't.
You guys are f***ing ridiculous. That is the funniest shit ever. The ugly back.
We're bringing ugly back. Yeah. Them pretty boys don't know how to act. Yeah.
He listened to that and like, I guess, compared it to everything else that Julie was giving him, right? All these other people that had submitted to be a co-host on the show. And he kept going back to mine.
And then I told Julie and Julie's like, okay, well, great, because he's already hired for the station. So let's just offer him the job.
The first time Julie called me to offer the morning gig after I had accepted the afternoon gig, I immediately said no.
Well, holy S. That was probably the first thing I said. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was dumbfounded.
And I was crushed.
She sounded thrilled and happy and like delivering some exciting news. And in my mind, I was like, no.
Like, I mean, I was devastated.
I'm pretty sure I said no thank you. With the way my memory is, though, it might be bad to say this or admit this, I might have just said no without the thank you.
But I was totally stunned. I remember the call. I was in my backyard and he said no. And I said, oh, wow. Okay. Well, let's just think about it and let's talk again. And then I phoned Roz right after and I said, he said no. Now what are we going to do?
You know what I felt when Mocha said no? Like a failure. And I hadn't even done one show yet. I felt like the show had already failed and we hadn't even built it yet.
In hindsight, again, knowing Mocha the way I know him, he knew what he wanted to do. He really wanted afternoons. He really wanted to work, you know, in programming and in music. So, you know, on reflection, it wasn't completely odd.
I don't want to wake up in the middle of the night anymore. I'd been doing it for so long already. I was ready and looking forward to sleeping in.
He got the gig that he wanted, and he was raring to go and excited about that.
He was the only person that I could see myself doing the show with.
We weren't ready to go back to anyone else. Roz was so fired up about working with Mocha. And obviously I love Mocha because I'd already hired him. So I was happy, you know, and thrilled to put him in mornings.
So Roz got on the phone and he was trying to convince me to do the morning show. And I was just like adamant that I didn't want to do it.
I was in New York at the time and I left the hotel because the hotel had terrible reception. And I got on the phone with him and I was sitting on a fire hydrant just like two blocks south of Central Park. And I called him and I was like, yo, like, let's just do this. I know you don't want to get up in the morning anymore. And I know, you know, you probably don't want to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning to do a show with me, right? But I'm like, let's just do this.
He said a lot of really nice things.
And I loved that Mocha had a persona, that Mocha was this thing.
At the time, I didn't know if he was just saying those things. The station really needed to fill that slot because I knew they had a, like, somewhat of a deadline to get the show on the air.
And I needed somebody who was going to be so incredibly professional that we wouldn't fight. I couldn't deal with somebody that had a huge ego because I have a huge ego. No, I'm kidding. But I don't know what it was. But I knew when I heard Mocha, I knew that Mocha was everything.
But he had said some really nice things, some really kind things that now, or not now, but it didn't take too long afterwards that I realized he was being genuine. The energy level that I kind of had, just the comedy, I think, and like just the interaction. He just thought that we would have great banter, right? And we get along really great. And I said no.
But we weren't ready to give up. And I thought it was important that he took some time to think about it because it was a great opportunity. And I believed so much that it was going to work. And I knew that if it did work, it would be really great for his life and his career.
And I think that Mocha had his own realization too. And I'm still not 100% sure on what that was. I'm sure it had less to do with me and more to do with him.
I remember it was a couple of days later, I was sitting at my parents' house and we had some friends over and we were just like watching a movie or something. I wasn't talking about it to anyone, but I was just like kept thinking about it. And in that moment, I had like this like realization, like, you idiot, what are you doing? Like, three times people have asked if you want to work at the station you've always wanted to work at, right? At a time slot that is coveted by like a lot of people in like the biggest radio market in the entire country. Why would you say no three times? And I remember I grabbed my phone. I immediately jumped up from where I was sitting. And nobody in the house knew what the hell was going on. And I ran outside, right? In my socks, ran outside. And I called Julie and I said, hey, listen, I am such an idiot and I'm so sorry. But if the hosting gig is still available with Roz, then I would love to take it. And I'm so sorry for the past 3 weeks. And she was like, yeah, you're a friggin' idiot. My dreams of sleeping in were like long gone, completely gone. But yeah, let's do this.
The day that sort of he decided that we were going to do this show, we independently started in our own heads putting together the show that we wanted to do without even really talking to each other.
I knew I was going to try my absolute best and give everything I had for Roz, for Julie, and for the radio station.
The Roz and Mocha Show was a lock. With two former stars from the first version of Kiss back together, this was an exciting reunion. Well, for one of them anyway.
I know that we worked together at some point, but I don't think we ever met.
Roz and I had worked at Kiss the first time around.
He remembers me more than I remember him, because I don't remember anybody. He has pictures of the two of us together, and I'm like, I don't remember any part of that day.
And actually, when they launched ET Canada, when he was the host, I remember because I was at the launch party.
Like, I knew him sort of like his name from the business, but we had never I don't think we'd ever talk to each other.
And I remember I was standing there talking to Roz, and I was just like, congratulations, this and this. And guaranteed he doesn't remember that now. No,
I really don't.
And I'll tell you what else he won't remember is when I was doing the afternoon show at that radio station in Kitchener. But a few times I've had Roz as like a guest on my show, like to talk about like entertainment stuff.
I have absolutely no memory of that.
And he has no idea, I'm sure.
No, that didn't happen.
With the launch date quickly approaching, the question now was, well, what exactly is the Roz and Mocha show?
Once those first contracts were signed, we'd been talking to Julie, both together and separately, but all that talk was happening over BBM on BlackBerry.
Oh, so many pings.
Yeah, the first version of the show was 100% designed on Messenger.
Over BBM, we were such good friends, I would say, is when the friendship truly started, was pinging each other on BBM and having those conversations about the show.
Mocha and I were on the same page from day one. We didn't know how we wanted the show to sound. We knew how we wanted the show to feel. And that's where we both started.
I was expecting they would want a ton of structure. You know, yeah, we need a ton of structure, like, let's come up with all the things that we're going to do at 6:10 and 7:10 and 8:20. And it was exactly the opposite.
Like, what if we just stripped everything away? What if we just did the exact opposite of what everyone else was doing?
Yeah, they wanted to freewheel it a lot. And they didn't want to do any traffic or like formal news.
We were going to take all that stuff out, just jump on the radio and do a show.
And then they explained to me, listen, we make money off news and we make money off traffic because we sell those reports. And I remember saying, we will make money other ways, right? We'll find a way to make money. We'll find a way for people to be able to spend money on the show.
I don't know. Maybe I could convince them to do weather. I think that was as far as I got. They didn't want to do any of it.
And we were like, what if we just go in there with nothing? Like, what happens?
And it was absurd and unheard of that we were going to launch a morning show that wasn't going to do, you know, news, traffic, or weather.
All the other morning shows, they were all doing news, traffic, and weather as well. And that was just real estate. That was time that we could take to do something else. That wasn't that stuff.
I wanted the ability to sort of go on a roll with things. The idea that somebody was going to stop me and Mocha from doing something funny because we had to do traffic, it was crazy to me.
Which is why I love people so much, because just when you think you have things figured out, you know, when you listen to people and they know what they need to do, often you have it totally wrong.
They pulled everything away and just said, here, go.
I just ran with it. Again, I went back to the principle that we wanted to do something different.
And I think she was, in her mind, was like, let's just try it and see. Because for as long as I've known Julie, she's always had that mentality, right? If you wanted to do something, sure, try it. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, we'll come up with something else.
And it didn't have to be perfect. You know, we were going to be a scrappy startup and we would figure it out on the fly.
And I'm sure if you asked Julie and a lot of other people, they would have said it was a goddamn disaster.
I'm sure there were a lot of people rolling their eyes. And I was in many a meetings, you know, early on with consultants and such who were sort of had their hands in the air saying, like, what are you doing here?
There are haters out there, consultants? Nah, come on. Are you serious?
And I remember just saying, no, it's going to be fine. These guys are the real deal.
Do they still work in the industry? Can I get their email addresses? I would like to confront them and ask them why.
What is she thinking? And, you know, these guys have never worked together. They've never done mornings in a major market. Roz had never been a host.
I've never done a job like this before. I've never introduced a song on the radio. I've still never introduced a song on the radio.
But I never doubted it. Not for 1 minute.
14 plus years, bitches. What?
With a risky and potentially disastrous format in place, there was still one very large and very awkward issue yet to be resolved.
We hadn't met face-to-face to discuss anything at that point. And management and Julie Adam were probably like, well, that's weird as shit. You can't start a show like that.
2 weeks before we were going to launch the show, we met up for dinner.
This was that famous meeting we always talk about. And there was a third person there with us that night. And that was our music director and assistant program director, Mike Religa.
Myself, Roz, and Mocha got together right before the show started. We went out to dinner. For the life of me, I can't remember what we all talked about, or like if there anyone was like presenting like who's going to be this role. I think they're both really defined and who they were as people. And they're like, obviously, both of them are instantly likable.
I think maybe the reason that we hadn't met face to face, on my part anyway, is because at the beginning of all of this, Mocha had said no and he didn't want to do the show. And I remember how terrified I was that had we met, that he may have regret his decision.
My memory serves me correctly, which I think it does. I think the vibe when they actually met was, I think it was really, again, really easy. Like, I think they really gravitated towards each other.
I had zero expectations going into that meeting. The only thing that I wanted to do was I wanted to just make Mocha laugh, because I thought that if I could do that, then that would be enough.
Both of them are such big personalities, and normally you think that that would be a conflict, but not in this case at all. It just seemed all very natural. And I remember a lot of laughing.
We laughed our asses off that night.
They both are just who they were. And I think it was kind of easy, to be honest. Like, they just kind of clicked. They both just made a lot of sense, had natural chemistry, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
And we talked about what we kind of envisioned for the show for about 5 minutes, and then had dinner and drinks and just talked about other stuff. And then it was like, all right, cool. See you in 2 weeks. Next time we saw each other was August 31st, 2009, the very first day that we launched the show.
Well, Toronto's newest morning radio show is now on the air.
We're not going to do a dumb show, okay? Yeah. I know what people want to hear. They want fun, they want entertaining, but they also want whip smart. And we're not phoning anything in, and we're not going to dumb anything down.
It's KISS 92.5. It's Toronto's number one hit music station. And, yo, just like City TV, man, we're going to be everywhere. Yo, Mark Daly, I love you, man.
Absolutely, yeah. Nice. So they are Roz and Mocha and are rocking your mornings on KISS 92.5.
A brand new show on a brand new station, like that rarely happens to have both of those in this business. But yeah, we started at zero. We had no audience.
I didn't know if people were going to be listening that day. That was another thing that kind of terrified me. This is a brand new radio station, a brand new show that never existed in the market before. So here I am thinking, literally no one is going to be listening.
This was the bottom of the bottom as far as a way to start a brand new show.
It's the Roz and Mocha Show, or it's nothing. Toronto's number one hit music station, KISS 92.5.
At that time, I think the show started at 5:30, and I think I showed up at like 2:30 or 3 because I couldn't sleep the night before. I remember sitting at the time we had an office. I was sitting in the office, and I was just reading stories online. Roz walks into the building, walks past the office, says good morning. I say hey. He goes into the studio.
I didn't stop and talk, not because like I was some sort of asshole. It's just because I was so in my own head that day and I was terrified.
And then like 30 minutes or an hour later, I then go into the studio. So there was no talking whatsoever from the time he showed up, right? And I had already been there. It was just like, let's turn on the microphone and see what happens.
It's 5:36. Good morning. Brand spanking new show. It is called The Roz and Mocha Show. We're going to get back to music. Livvy Frank and Pitbull.
Did it feel like a risk? That's a really, really good question. It felt like a risk, but not for me. The risk involved was that I was worried that I was going to let him down, that he took this chance, that we convinced him, that we were like, let's just try, when he already had a great job lined up at the station, his own show, great hours, and he chose to come and do the show together with me. And so the risk was, will I let him down? And I thought about that for a long time before we started the show.
Morning, it's the Roz and Mocha Show.
Good morning, Mocha.
I didn't know what I was going to do for the entire show, but I knew that there was one thing that I wanted to do. And for me, I love when egos get checked. That's sort of like where I am entertained by people who have giant egos that are just consistently falling on their face. That first break we did, I remember, how am I going to convey this thing that I love? There's a tone that I want to have people look at me under.
I remember we turned on the microphone and we just started talking. There was like zero preparation whatsoever.
And I think that I said something like, I woke up in the morning and I felt great and I couldn't wait and we're doing this big show. And then I saw myself in the mirror and I was like all fat and skinny at the same time and gross and pasty.
And then he was saying something. He told a weird story about being nervous and like something about taking a shower.
And so I wanted to build myself up and then immediately tear myself down.
Morning. What's going on, dude?
Dude, I'm so excited. Actually, I shouldn't say that. I signed on to do this show back in June.
Yeah.
This has been my entire summer was gearing up for today.
Mm-hmm.
And then today I get up and I do that thing. I take a shower. You ever do something where you do it so often you just black out in between doing what you're doing?
Like taking a pee.
So somewhere in between me taking a shower, getting out of the shower, I black out. When I come to, I'm standing in front of the mirror, completely naked, plucking gray hair out of my sideburns. I look down. My body's disgusting. I'm like a wet, white version. It's like a big pot belly, skinny little arms and skinny little legs. I kind of look like Kermit the Frog kind of thing.
Oh, my goodness.
And every bit of confidence I had for today,
yep,
gone.
I know. Pressure's on, eh?
And I still do that all the time, right? I will just have this giant ego and then I self-own. Or I have this giant ego and I leave a like truck-sized window open for somebody to tear me down. Because it's what everybody hopes will happen in the moment. Everybody loves to see a huge ego get checked. And, you know, that's the show. That was the first break.
Get up! Yeah. Roz and Mocha Mornings. There goes the alarm. Non-stop hits all day. Kiss 92.5.
The Roz and Mocha Show.
Good morning, brother.
What's going down?
I'm good.
I know Roz actually did have an idea for if we were to get a caller on the air.
We're also looking for our very first fan, right?
Which there's huge expectations with this.
Yeah.
You can't just be, hey, I'm calling up. Like, you have to do things. We will fight for you if you fight for us. That's the rule with being our first fan.
And it was like our patient zero.
Hi, Kiss. Good morning. Who's this?
It's Donna.
Hi, Donna. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
We're doing fantastic. By the way, it's Roz and Mocha, brand new show here on Kiss 92.5. Today's our very, very first day, and you sound like you could be the ultimate fan.
Okay, sweet.
Are you into it?
I am totally into it this morning.
Here's the thing, Donna. What we're looking for is we're kind of trying to find the Roz and Mocha Show patient zero, okay? The person who's going to get the Roz and Mocha Show virus and then spread it to all over their friends.
Okay.
So we're going to give you some tasks throughout the morning because we need to spread the word that Roz and Mocha are in Toronto. We are on Kiss 92.5 and we are here to stay.
Okay. Sounds good. I'll do it.
So she was like yelling at people on the street to listen to Roz and Mocha.
Yeah. So Donna's on the phone with us. Yo, where you at?
Okay. Well, guess what? I work at the Cine.
Okay. Are there any people around you?
Yes.
Okay. Who's there right now?
This guy.
Okay. Do you know him?
No.
Okay. I want you to go up to him. Say, hi, my name is Donna.
Yeah.
And then say, I am patient zero.
Yeah.
For Kiss 92.5.
Hi. How's it going? My name's Donna. I'm patient zero.
For Kiss 92.5.
For Kiss 92.5.
And the Roz and Mocha Show.
In the Roz and Mocha Show.
Now sort of touch him and ask him if he minds if you infect him.
You sort of mind if I infect you?
And then touch him. Make sure you touch him. It's
yeah,
all
I do.
What's he saying?
Okay, now you've been affected. I'm it's back. You listen to the radio? You don't listen to the radio? Well, now you're going to have to start. Kiss 92.5. Roz and Mocha Show are back. Okay? And your name? Kinnett?
Hanad.
Okay, have a good day. Take care. Okay.
No, now you have to turn back one more time.
One more time.
Look at him and scream at the top of your lungs like you're really mad at him, like he thinks that you're nuts. Say, it's the Roz and Mocha Show or it's nothing.
Okay. Hanad! It's the Roz and Mocha Show or it's nothing! Thank you!
I remember that, and it was a great idea.
Good morning, You got Roz and Mocha. What's up?
Hi. Hey, it's my name's Phil. I'm a buddy of Roz's. I just wanted to give him a shout and say hey and congratulations. I just popped on the radio station. And
I went to high school with Phil.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yo, Phil, what was Roz like in high school?
He was the biggest rock star that Acton ever had. He was a Sebastian Bach lookalike. He was amazing. He was excellent on guitar, and he was fantastic.
Yo, was he a ladies' man or what?
Phil.
Look at him. Of course he was.
Thank you. I'm like, don't, dude. No, 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 no.
No, no, if you wanted to get into the ladies, hang out with Roz.
See?
Oh, trust me, man. I'm going to be riding this dude's coattails for the rest of my life now.
When the show started, I didn't have a license, like a driver's license. So Catherine was actually, I'd wake her up and then she would drive me in every day.
Day one of the radio show. I mean, I think I was probably a lot more nervous than he was, to be honest, because I think that he likes to think that, you know, he was probably super stressed about it. But I mean, anyone who has someone who's that close to them in their life, I mean, I feel like you absorb it just as much, if not sometimes more than them in that moment.
I got two jobs. I'm having a kid, starting a house reno, and I don't have a driver's license.
Dude, you don't have a license?
I don't have a driver's license.
How do you get around town? Just cab everywhere?
My girlfriend's really cool. She drives me around a lot.
Yeah.
I'm like Chewbacca. I'm a fantastic navigator, right? I work the iPhone. I get us to places, everything else. But I realized that I completely missed out on that super cool thing. The first car I have is going to have a baby seat in the back.
I know, dude.
That's
station
lame.
Wagon? Van, maybe?
And because I was working two jobs, that time in the car that we had together was oftentimes like the most I would actually see her in a day is when she would bring me up in the middle of the night to the station.
I needed it to go well for him. I wanted him to feel like he made the right decision and also that I did not make a horrible mistake in telling him to do this.
By the way, it's our first show, so cut us some slack.
Like for serious, cut us some slack. We didn't have much, and we were still kind of getting to know each other on the radio on that first show.
Honest to God, this is my dream job, doing mornings for my favorite radio station in the city that I grew up in, the city that I absolutely love.
Making sacks of dough.
Oh, buddy.
Living a good life.
Man, I feel like I won Lotto 649.
And now you're back living at home with your mom and dad. One thing that I knew that I could riff on was the fact that Mocha had moved back in with his parents in the basement.
It was embarrassing. Not that I didn't know it was going to come up on the radio. I didn't know it was going to come up on the radio so much.
All right.
Okay.
Can I at least explain the situation?
No. Before you explain the situation, because that's the thing. You're living this fantastic life. You're going to be going and doing club gigs where you're going to be leaving bodies in the street is what you should be doing.
Fancy haircuts.
This is what I picture. You're back in the basement in the old bedroom you had when you used to live at your mom and dad's.
It's funny that you say that.
Empire Strikes Back bed sheets. Every night you're just tortured.
Because
you're trying to manipulate your feet through the little slats in the wagon wheel at the end of your bed. I can't wait for the day when you come in here limping because you stepped on a piece of Lego while getting out of the bed.
Just to clarify, the reason why I moved back in with my parents is because the condo that I was going to be living in, there were so many delays in building.
No, here's the situation, okay? I have a place. I got a place. Yeah. But I can't move in for a couple of months because it's still being built. So my wonderful, wonderful parents, who I absolutely love, said, no problem. You can move back at home. And yes, I have taken residency in my old room in the basement that I lived in even when I was in high school.
And then that 1 month turned into, I think it was like 6 or 7 months before I could move in to the condo.
Mocha in the basement, that was like the first thing really that I grabbed onto and that I knew that I could make funny, that I knew that when we were sort of like identity building in those early days of the show, like I knew that that was a defining thing, unfortunately for him. But early on, the audience like really gravitated towards it. They grabbed onto it. Is your mom cooking you dinner?
Yeah.
Is your mom doing your laundry?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah, she does.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I think my parents were really proud.
We were delighted. We were excited. I was happy for him. At that time, I didn't know who was Roz or what Roz was.
And we were glad for Mocha to work at the station.
My sisters were definitely really proud.
When the show started, I thought it was the coolest thing in the world.
So I'm probably the number one fan, and I hope he appreciates that.
I feel great, man. Back in the city.
How does it feel? Because you've kind of been in exile for a couple of years, right? You've been out of the city. Your family's here. What's it like coming home?
Dude, this is the greatest feeling of my life.
I think people knew that we were excited. You know, people in my world knew that I was very excited. So I don't think that they were going to say anything that was going to kind of diminish what I was, the excitement that I was having.
When I got the phone call to say, will you come back to Kiss 92.5? Will you come back to Toronto? It was like, hell yeah. Before, it was like that Jerry Maguire scene.
Yeah.
You know, you had me at hello.
Yeah, just packed it all up?
Totally. You know what? It gave me the opportunity, seriously, to come back to the city that I grew up in, the city that I love, to be with my family, all my friends. I have a gorgeous goddaughter who's 3 now, mm-hmm. who I just love spending time with. And moving back to Toronto meant that I can be with all of them.
Your family's all sitting around the radio this morning like it's Christmas or something like that.
I know.
We're all listening.
I remember my sister calling in.
Good morning, Kiss 92.5.
Hi, Mocha.
Hi, who's this?
It's your sister.
I had no idea she was calling in at all. We never even talked about it beforehand. She didn't tell me, like, hey, guess what? I'm going to try calling into the show.
Laura, shouldn't you be sleeping?
Well, I was excited for your show.
Good morning, Laura.
Good morning. I was so excited to listen to you both this morning.
I think she was like our first caller that we had. That was really important to Mocha as well, which was great.
Even my mom and dad are like right now listening.
Really?
They're also excited. So I think you can say that we are your fans. Number one fan.
The only thing I thought of in that moment was, yes, my sister is like super sweet and everything. I thought she was going to say something that was going to embarrass me on that first show on the very first day.
Laura, you know you're the very first caller for the Roz and Mocha show?
Oh, that's even more exciting.
No, it's not. It's sad.
Of course, Mocha was terrified. Who wouldn't be? That's your sister calling in. But she was great until she called back.
One more call. Yeah. Hello.
Good morning. It's your sister.
Hi, Laura. What's up?
You need to get dinner off of the kitchen table.
Shut up.
Hold on.
And she lights him up.
What exactly is on the kitchen table?
Well, at first I thought it was underwear, but it was just pajamas. And we have a banister in our family room near the TV, and there's socks all over the place. And I walked into the kitchen, and from our kitchen you could see the dining room table, and there's underwear hanging all over the place.
The dryer's broken, so what do you want me to do? Where else am I going to hang my clothes?
We have a drying rack in the basement where you live.
Why does Mocha have pajamas?
I don't know. And they're like checkered and purple or something.
They're just pajama pants.
That's like putting a suit on before you go to bed.
All right, it's mister, ridiculous. I wear a girl scarf to work.
Everybody in my life knew that I was coming back to this radio station. Everybody in my life knew how much this radio station meant to me. And thinking of any type of failure, that was the one thing that I was the most terrified about. That was 100% pressure I put on myself. Absolutely.
I trusted Mocha immediately. I trusted him immediately. And if you ask me, like, why, how do I trust him? I don't know. It's just, it's like, why do you love somebody, right? Like I never made him fight to sort of earn my trust. It was based on a mutual agreement that in order for this to work, we are tying our lives together. And it's not going to work with just one of us. It's got to be a partnership. And I think that was the understanding from the first show.
Brent's making a new show, so if we screw up today, then you can yell at Roz.
Thanks, bro.
Yell at the boss. The boss is the one that let us loose on these microphones. Black Eyed Peas, I got a feeling.
The show felt good. I'm not sure how it sounded, but it felt good.
I was curious to know what the bosses thought, what everyone else thought. But I remember it being a fun show, and I remember it just being, like, it just felt good. It felt right.
And I'm sure if you asked Julie and a lot of other people, they would have said it was a goddamn disaster.
I remember the early days, and they were bad. I mean, I love them to death. But there were moments where I was like, wow, we've got work to do.
I felt good about the show. I felt great about everything after that first show, after that first week.
They were so, in some ways, they weren't much different than they are now. I mean, now they're more polished, of course.
I thought that it was going to work. I thought Roz and I were going to have a good time on the radio. I thought we were going to get along. And I thought the bosses were going to enjoy the show. And that was the only thing I could hope for.
And so, you know, by all accounts, was it great morning radio? Probably not. But they were amazing. And I never had a doubt, not a one, that they were going to be successful.
All I knew is that it felt right. And it was the first time I had ever done anything that felt like I was exactly where I was supposed to be. Like I felt like I belonged. And I knew at that moment, regardless of what was going on in meetings, regardless of how crazy people thought Julie was, regardless of the fact that Mocha and I had never worked together, this was going to work.
Coming up on the next episode of The History of Roz and Mocha.
Well, my real name is DJ Climax.
Before I met Climax and we became best friends, I was actually a fan of DJ Climax.
We started that show together. I didn't want to do it without him.
It is what people love. It's what people want. And for a lot of people, I truly believe it's what people need.
Dammit Maury was the next piece.
So the name Dammit Maury, it was so quick. Like there was no meeting or discussion.
The question that I get more than any other question is Maury really like that?
Is Dammit Maury really like that?
I think my persona on the radio is that fun-loving, silly guy who is, okay, like kind of not that bright.